It's also in the
It's also in the sitter, but no, wait, you're.
Oh, you're
this is second time.
No, oh, but I get that. How do I do?
Oh, it's because Miguel is in the back. So this is Perek Tet. Anyway, we're starting Masechet Megillah after our successful run with Nedarim. I see the Siyum never ends.
Never ends.
Though it's a new bottle.
If it was a Siyum, it would be a single malt.
So for the newcomers, welcome. This is a shiur that's been going on now for, 15 years? A long time. A long time, and from time to time, usually we change the perek in September. Usually we change the mesechta in September. Hello. But we were kind of in the middle of a run, so we kept going with Nedarim until we finished Medasium, and now we're switching to Megillah because soon it's Purim. So we'll start learning from the beginning of the first perek. Megillah's a Gemara that, you know, people tend to learn at different points. It could be the last point you did that was 7th grade, which, you know, may have been a couple years ago. So it's the kind of thing where there's always that danger of it being a little knowy. But Chazar is also good. The first perek deals essentially with Megillah, with Kriyat Megillah. Although there's a very long section of Agadata, which really darshans, in a midrashic style, the Megillah itself. It's worth learning the Agadot on the Megillah. When we get to it, we'll see what point of the year we're still in and how much we progress between now and what Purim's in.
We're not going to finish by Purim?
The whole Masechta by Purim?
Purim's in a month and a half.
Purim's in a month and a half. So I don't know how much we're going to actually do before Purim, but then we'll see. And then the Agav to the topic of Kriyat HaMegillah, Masechet Megillah is the home address of really everything having to do with Kriyat HaTorah. There's no Masechet that deals with Kriyat HaTorah, which is it's a curious choice that there should be no Masechet that deals with Kriyat HaTorah.
No fear for Kriyat HaTorah. There is a fear for Kriyat Megillah still, but there's no fear for Kriyat HaTorah.
That is a fascinating question. What is the scope of the chiyuv of Kriyat HaTorah? It happens to be a machlokas. But the Chol HaDeyot, we do Kriyat HaTorah. There's no chiyuv of... of giving a get. Yafeh. Good example. Right? But there's an entire Masechta that deals with giving a get, should you choose to give one.
It's a mitzvah if you choose to give a get.
What?
It's a mitzvah if you choose to give a get.
It is a mitzvah if you choose to give a get. Yes.
I imagine that the fact that it's a stronger chiyuv would probably learn a lot of laws from at least...
Yes, because of the conceptual connection. But anyway, that's a different question of how Shas is organized and why certain things take a lot of space and other things get shunted aside. The tefillin, the Chol HaDeyot is a chiyuv of tefillin, and the Chol HaDeyot tefillin is a mitzvah chavivad mode, but there is no mesechet tefillin, right? The tefillin is dealt with agav other things in mesechet menachot, which you wouldn't like. If you landed from Mars and knew nothing about Shas or how it was organized, and I told you guess which mesechet tefillin is in. I would have guessed Megillah, right? Because they both deal with stam. Right, with Sefer Torah, but no, but it's in Menachot. Okay. Tzitzit, there's no... Okay. So, Megillah. So that's the first perek. The second perek, also, in the first perek, you also have the Ein Bains. If you've learned the Mishnayot, and I often suggest that whenever you start a new perek, it's worthwhile to learn all the Mishnayot, because it kind of gives you a roadmap of where you're going. So that's, you know, if you care to undertake that on your own. The Gemara, the Mishnah mentions the idea, Ein Bein Purim L'Shushan Purim, Bein Yudal L'Tet Vav, Ella, fill in the blank. And then it lists, that construct of, there's no difference between this and that, except the following is a kind of mnemonic device, and then the Mishnah lists a whole variety of things. Ein Bein Shabbat L'Yom Tov, Ella, Orchal Nefesh Bilvad, right? So, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know, a whole list of, I don't know, 7, 8 different things having nothing to do one with the next, but they're all grouped together because of the mnemonic structure of the Mishnah where things that are halachot that are structured similarly, even if the content is completely different, are grouped together. And then there are other topics in the Masechet. The third parak is Bnei Ha'ir. It starts off with a discussion of Kedusha, Kedushat Beit HaKnesset, Kedusha Tashmishei Mitzvah, Tashmishei Kedusha, Mitzvah objects and their sanctity, a whole variety of things. We'll see if we ever get that far. The Mishnah begins. Megillah nikrate b'chadasar, b'shtemasar, b'shloshasar, b'arbasar, b'chmeshasar. The 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th, fill in the blank, of Adar, or Adar Bet, as the case may be, a topic that the Gemara will come to. Lo pachot v'lo yoter. No less, no more, meaning not before the 11th and not after the 15th. Now, the 14th and the 15th we know about. What are the 14th and 15th? What we call Purim, what we call Shushan Purim. But it's something of an innovation, the idea that you could lay in on the 11th, 12th, or 13th. Not something that we're actually familiar with. But in the times of the Gemara, was an actual thing. Krochin hamukafin choma mimot Yehoshua ben Nun, korin betetvav. Walled cities from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, like Yerushalayim. Like Yerushalayim.
Hebron Basafik.
Like Hebron
Basafik. Roads? 2 days.
Tavaria Basafik.
Roads?
Roads?
I think so.
I don't know. Shushan.
Yericho.
I don't know what they do. Lamaisa, in fact.
I don't know,
but well, but we'll see the topic of Samuch v'nireh. So Mitzpeh Yericho. Mitzpeh Yericho, where we once spent about 30 seconds thinking of buying a house. And I'm exaggerating by about 20 seconds. Mitzpeh Yericho is l'chora samuch v'nira. I don't know what they do. And maybe... What?
To Yerushalayim or to...
Mitzpeh Yericho to Yericho. Okay. I don't know. But in the... that book over there, the Mikroi Kodesh, on Purim... Well done, Benny. So in we have this whole series of books here called the Mikroi Kodesh. Not to be confused with another work called Mikroi Kodesh. This is by a fellow named Moshe Harari from Merkaz Harav. And it's one of these Halacha Lamaisa books on the Chagim. What do you figure this is? Remember this? I don't know what this is or how it got in here. Anyway, so he deals with all these contemporary questions about where there's a suffix and where you read, and the questions of samuch v'nireh, because it's not just people in the Ir Atika of Yerushalayim, but how do you in Rechavia, how do you celebrate Shushan Purim? Shushan b'lechol adeot, nobody lived in Rechavia. L'chol adeot, nobody lived outside the walls of the old city in the times of Yehoshua ben Nun. So that's the din of Samuch v'nireh, which has not yet been introduced, right? Now, according to the
Pshat.
And what about Efrat?
Don't go there.
That's right. That's from
and,
those
and what about what about Efrat? So, if you're interested in the actual questions of where they lay on Tedvav and where they lay on Yudalit and where they're besufik and they do 2 days as summer noheg, it's a great uniting force, both on the extreme right and the extreme left of our rabbinic leadership in town. There is consensus on this one issue. Everyone in the middle disagrees. But on the extreme right and the extreme left, there are people that are knowing 2 days of Purim and Efrat.
There was a tshuva of Menachem Kasher, the Torah Shlema, back in the 70s, before there was Efrat. That's what Megillot.
Yeah.
Then there was no fright. You could see Yerushalayim from Megillot as well.
There's a tshuva of Rav Avadya Yosef about that far-flung, distant neighborhood Bayit Vagan. which was, you know, cut off and not contiguous to, cut off and not contiguous to Yerushalayim itself, and where they should lay.
Had the same issue during the first years of Harnof also.
Harnof, Ramot, Ramot is really Taka, Ramot really is an issue because Ramot is still not technically contiguous to Yerushalayim. You have to drive out, you know.
It's getting there.
It's getting there, but.
What's the difference between Rimmon and Tamar?
Between Rimmon and Tamar for what? Oh, yeah, right.
Harnof is this.
Anyway, but we'll get to that topic later.
Yeah. Most people are on
Shushan.
Get everybody's numbers, names, numbers. Get everybody onto the WhatsApp. As. So walled cities laying on Tedvav on the 15th, because why?
No, the famous answer because of the Chol Yerushalayim.
No, 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 not. I mean, but why?
Because they had next day of fighting in the.
Because it what happened in the during the war, right? They fought against the Jews fought back, we won. Let's eat. But when did we win? So every place, the war went on until the 13th. And on the 14th, they rested and celebrated. But in Shushan, there was the extra day. So the war continued on the 14th itself. And they rested and celebrated on the 15th. So because Shushan won its victory on a separate day, it commemorates on a separate day, and not just Shushan, but all walled cities from the times of Yehoshua ben Nun. Why Yehoshua ben Nun? Yehoshua ben Nun lived a long, long, long time before Purim. So that's the famous answer about Kavod Yerushalayim and etc. We'll come to that.
Because of the time of Shushan, most of the walls in Eretz Israel have been knocked down by the Jebel.
Kfar Ve'ayirot Gedolot Korin B'Yud Dalet. And every place else, villages and cities, on the 14th. Now there's a in English we have many words. Perhaps this is a topic for Balashon. In English we have many words to differentiate between a village and a borough and a town and a suburb isn't the name of a thing. A suburb is the name of an area, right? A city, etc. In Hebrew, you don't have quite a rich vocabulary. You have this word ir or ayarot. In Yiddish, an ayara, right? In other words, in Hebrew, influenced by Yiddish, an ayara is sometimes what we call a shtetl, right? But a shtetl is not a village.
A shtetl is literally a small town.
But all of these things are the main difference here is between a kfar, which is a village, and everything else. There are three categories. There's a kfar, a village. There's all types of towns and cities, and then there's a walled city. The walled city could be big, it could be small, but it's a walled city. Presumably, there were no such things as very small walled cities. Because for a city to build and maintain a wall, it had to be large enough to have a tax base to support the building and maintenance of a wall. So there was no such thing as a village or a small town that had a wall. And of course, the biggest of the big towns was far smaller than our own little town. But another Zefrat would have been a metropolis. Efrat today, they just passed 10,000 residents. So in the ancient world, there probably weren't too many cities in the world that had populations of 10,000. A small handful. Ela shehakfarin makdimin liyom haknisa. Walled cities on the 15th. Every place else on the 14th, except what? The villages can move the date back until the Yom HaKnisa. What's the Yom HaKnisa? Which is? Monday or Thursday. So look at Rashi. It's nice to have Rashi back. In the Durham, we didn't have Rashi. the third line in the Rashi. Ela shekfarim maktivin liyom haknisa. Klomar, me'achar shehamukafin korin betedvav. The wall, the mukafin means surrounded by a wall. Read on the 15th. V'she'ein mukafin korin b'yudalit. See, Rashi has already changed the terminology. The Mishnah talks about kfarin, ayarot, and krachin. What does krach mean?
I'm just inspired to write about it, but it means a walled city.
You were just now the second inspired to write about it?
No, because I looked at it, it says actually, it's not, I always assumed it was surrounded by a wall.
Like a korech, kricha, like a krich. Why is a krich called a krich? A sandwich? Why is a sandwich called a krich? Because it's surrounded by bread.
Right. But apparently it says it might actually come from a Greek word.
Ah, from the Lashon of?
Karakas. I don't know, look it up and maybe it's some English cognate.
Yeah, meaning?
Meaning, like a fortress, a city with a fortress.
Yeah, that's a Greek word for a kore, for a beam. A beam. That's whatever that Greek word is. Karach.
Mutzar de korot.
Right? In other words, it's the same idea. That the walled city, but it's not from the Shoresh that we presume. If it's a Hebrew Shoresh, then it's from Korech, from surrounded. If it's a Greek Shoresh, it means that it's built with beams. You know, think of, remember, first reference, popular culture reference, remember F Troop? Right? Remember, like a fort, an old Western fort, right? Substitute any John Wayne movie you care for if you don't remember F Troop. And as how would they make those surrounded, the walls around the fort? With beams. Now, whether it was a stone wall or a wood wall or somehow a fortress, but the beams, it's from this Greek word, which means the beams that were used to build the wall. Either way, the reference is somehow to the wall. So, Rashi changes the terminology to mukaf, which is a synonym for surrounded, like hakafot, and lo mukaf.
Isn't Rashi using the word that's mentioned in the Megillah itself?
Yes, but in other words, he's deviating from the language of the Mishnah, and it's a little, in some ways, Rashi is a little more convenient because Rashi reduces it to two categories. The Mishnah has three categories: villages, towns, and walled cities. Rashi says, no. The distinction is between walled and non-walled. Within non-walled, there's an exception for the very little villages, that they get a dispensation and they can lane earlier. She'en mukafin korin biyudalet. Hare hakol bichlal. Tu hechi mashkachat yud alef yud bet yud gimel. El shakfarim natnu lehen chachamim reshut lahakdim kriyata liyom haknisa. Yom Sheni b'Shabbat shelifnei Yudalid o Chamishi b'Shabbat shehu Yom HaKnisa. If Purim, the 14th, does not fall out on a Monday or a Thursday, days that the villagers would have been coming into town anyway, they can lane it on the immediate preceding Monday or Thursday, whichever is closer, when they come in. But interestingly, when they would come in, you would have one place, the villagers would come to Yerushalayim, or to Shushan, or to wherever. They would be having their Kriyat HaMegillah, but the local folk would not be having their Kriyat HaMegillah. In other words, you could only celebrate Purim on the 11th, 12th, or 13th if you, in your Tudat Zehut, it said you were a villager. Right? You would have to go into town to hear them. Why'd you have to go into town?
They didn't have people for a minion.
Because the presumption is they didn't have a minion, they didn't have a Megillah, they didn't know how to read, they didn't, right?
When they come into the town, it's just to hear the Megillah read. They're not doing Mishloach Manot.
So that's the Gemara, we'll talk about that. But presumably, it's only for Kriyat HaMegillah, and they did Mishloach Manot and Matanot Levionim on the proper day.
Worse, you heard the Megillah twice. If you lived in the city, you heard them waiting for the villagers, and then you heard it again on the proper day, so you heard Megillah twice. It's not the end at all.
Yeah, but
you were Yotze the first time, but you heard it twice.
Why do you say this idea? You happen to be correct. But where do you get this idea that the day that they have Purim on the 11th or the 12th or the 13th? But it's not Purim. It's the Yom for the Kriyat HaMegillah.
Because if it,
And Purim, the other mitzvot, they would celebrate on
Purim.
Purim. What day do they sail on Nisim? On Purim itself. Where do you get such an idea? Why don't you say no? Say that on the 11th when they come into town, that's Purim for them. And they do everything. Ah, we have a takdim for this. And that's...
The reason they're coming in is because they don't know how to read or they're not a Balkore. So Balkore is somebody who lives in Yerushalayim. So he's not a Purim on that day, but he's able to not see them. Maybe just like a Zecha or something.
No, no. It's not just this. First of all, he is able to be Motzi them.
You can ask someone who's not...
Because that was the... First of all, that was the Takana. But even today, although it's not L'chatchila, if I'm a Yerushalmi, and I'm not keeping Purim on Yud Dalet, but somebody needs me, somebody from outside Yerushalayim needs me to lane for them, I'm able to be motzi them. I'm able to lane for them.
In Yerushalayim,
they should say the brachot, but I'm able to be motzi them.
Even if you are hurt yourself.
Yeah. No, that's easy. That's easier. That's easier. In other words, if I live in Ephraim, we're all in Ephraim. Forget, we're all in New York where Shushan Purim doesn't exist. They're not even aware of the thing. And I was Yotzei the Megillah. And you come along and say, oh, I didn't hear the Megillah. I can lane for you. I can lane 100 times. Just like the guy that blows the shofar can blow 100.
Why is that any different?
Because when I lane for you on my Purim and your Purim, when I blow the shofar for you on Rosh Hashanah, which is also your Rosh Hashanah, I'm a bar chiyuv. I've already been yotzei, but I'm obligated in this mitzvah.
You're not doing the mitzvah.
I am doing the mitzvah. I'm doing it again so that you could be yotzei.
He makes the bracha. You don't make the bracha.
And if he wouldn't be able to make the bracha, I could say the bracha again. Ideally, he went on Rosh Hashanah, when we have the tekiot again at the end, you know, either for the women or for somebody who was sick or whatever. So ideally, one of the people who didn't hear the shofar at all should say the brachot, and the Baal Tokeya, Steve. Oh, you're sitting in Steve's seat. That's okay. I'm sure he'll be here soon.
You know the Baal Tokeya, just so you should know.
So Steve blows again. He was already out saying the davening. He blows again. Ideally, somebody else makes the bracha. But if there's nobody there, nowadays it's not such a problem. They used to have this idea that women didn't know how to say the brachot. Okay.
So a woman, if you're blowing for a woman, she could say the brachot.
So she should say the brachot. She should say the. You have 15 people. You have 15 people hanging around. One of the women or one of the men that didn't hear should say the brachot for everybody else, and then he blows. But enafinami, if nobody Taka could really say the bracha, he could say the bracha again, even, right? And same thing with Megillah. Same thing with, lechatchila, it's better to have somebody who's chayiv in the mitzvah, even if they were already yotzei. When I live in Efrat, and on Shushan Purim morning, I go to bring shalach manos to somebody. I'm bechlal not chayav, but nevertheless, if there was no choice, I could be motzi.
My sister-in-law was once in. There was a Purim in Yudalit was Motzei Shabbat. She tripped and they had to go to the hospital on Shabbat, broke her arm, and her husband were there in Shari Tzedek, and by the time they got let out of the hospital on Motzei Shabbat, so it was late, and they had to still get back to Efrat, living in Efrat at the time. They had someone reading on Yud Dalet at night in Shari Tzedek. It was Muslim because they knew that by the time they got back to Efrat, there was no one who was going to be able to read
them. If you look in the Tukachinsky Luach, not in the Heichal Shlomo Luach, but if you look in the Tukachinsky Luach, this you have to share. Passes around, I have to share them. In the Tukachinsky Luach, on the page for Purim, it says that in the Tachana Merkazit, in Yerushalayim, there's a laning on Yudalid for people. A guy works in Yerushalayim, a guy lives in Modin, a guy lives in Efrat, he works in Yerushalayim, he's not going to get back home until late. They have a laning in the Tachana Merkazit, in the Beit Knesset of the Tachana Merkazit, on Yudalid for the Chutznikim.
But unfortunately, not for the women. Because
Oh, I don't. You know what? I've never been.
No, the new.
There's
new
Ezra Nashim. I've only once ever been in Tachan Amerkazit.
That's because the women all have the cars.
But I remember in the old Tachan Amerkazit,
the shul was in the back,
where the seats were old, like they took out the back seat from the bus, right? And those were the seats in the shul, the Eged, the Anshe Eged. So in that shul, there was no Ezra Nashim either. So, which is only like one step better than the Anshe Lotto, you know, on in Geula, you know, where it's the lotto, you know, by the Sfarm store, by Uri's Pizza. it's like a lotto booth, and like behind it there's a minion. So the guy closes the window and he opens the door and he's like the 10th. So Ketzad. So how could it be they lay on the 11th, 12th, or 13th? You see this sheet? This is the blackboard. Chaliot Yudalid Besheni. If the 14th, this is line A. If the 14th comes on a Monday. Kfarin Va'erot Gedolot Korin Bo Biyom. Everybody lanes on that day. Right? Because they would come in anyway on Monday. Now it's interesting. It's not only we were in the middle of the Rashi. Wait, go back to the Rashi. No. El Shak Farin Natnula. Oh, Chamishi b'Shabbat, Shehu Yom Knisa, Shakfarim Mitkansin l'Ayarot l'Mishpat, l'Fi Shabbatei Dinin Yoshvin b'Ayarot b'Sheni v'Chamishi Ketakanat Ezra. Right, the Gemara in Bava Kamma says that Ezra was metaken that the Batei Din in the towns should sit on Sheni v'Chamishi, because we think of it as market day. Right, the villagers would come in to sell their wares, their eggs, their butter, their whatever it was. Tevye would come in with the milk. No. It was the days of the Batei Din. Right? So since people are coming in, so those are the days that he was metake and there should be Kriyat HaTorah during the week. And anyway, since everybody was coming in, and they were coming, if you had a din before, you had a din Torah, or for Kriyat HaTorah, you also brought your butter and your eggs and your whatever else you were bringing from the villagers, because the villagers all supplied the produce and everything else for the markets. So that's how, in other words, historically, I don't know what the historians say, like the development, which came first, Batei Din, Kriyat HaTorah, or the Shuk. But presumably, in other words, it's not to contradict. It could be that the takana of Ezra was that the Batei Din should sit on Sheni v'Chamishi. Why did he say the Batei Din should sit on Sheni v'Chamishi? Well, it made sense that the villagers would come on Chamishi. Why? Because Chamishi, you try to get a parking space near the Shuk on a Thursday? It's a lot harder than getting one on a Sunday or Monday. Right? Because everybody's doing their marketing for Shabbat at the Shuk. Right? Monday, because you need another market day and it's the furthest away from Thursday. Right? So, in other words, it could be that these are three different forces that all come together, but the takana, like on paper, was about the nihul of the batei, mishpat.
There was also an amendment that you didn't want to, Monday and Thursday was a natural day. You didn't want to have more than 3 days
without Kriyat HaTorah. That was Ezra's idea, that you needed to have Kriyat HaTorah at least once every 3 days because of Shloshet Yamim Shelo Matsumayim in the Parasha of Mara. But you could have done it.
What's you going to do on Shabbat anyway? Yeah.
Well, you could do it Wednesday and Friday, and you still don't have 3 days, right?
Wednesday.
No, you could have had it on
Tuesday.
Right, you could have had it on
Tuesday and Friday. Maybe
you could have had it on Tuesday and Thursday.
Tuesday and Friday.
Or Tuesday and Friday, and Tuesday, Friday, and Shabbat, right? In other words, but it made sense Thursday because you had this market force at work. So in other words, it's not one to the exclusion of the others.
Not because they had long tachmer.
Ve'akfarin einan b'ki'in l'kro. Since the villagers were not, they didn't have expertise in reading the Megillah, v'tzrichin shi'ekre'enu lehen echad mibnei ha'ir. V'lo hitrichum chachamim Lehitacher v'lavo b'yom yudalid ufa'amim b'yom haknisa b'yud gimel ufa'amim shu b'yud aleph. In other words, Chazal could have said, tough luck, right? We don't do this about Rosh Hashanah. The assumption was that on Rosh Hashanah, the villagers also all came to town. And there were takanot in antiquity that townspeople had to take in the villagers. Right, because they had to come, they had to have Rosh Hashanah. As a matter of fact, in the Zichronot of a variety of European towns, not in antiquity, in the Middle Ages, and even in the early modernity, in the town of Buchach, which is where Agnon was from, which was a town, it wasn't. I know you all read a lot of Agnon, but people make this mistake. You read an Agnon story, and in your head, you call down to central casting, you know, like in that, you know, that cartoon in Inside Out. What?
You think of Anatepta.
And you think Anatepta. You call up an image from Marc Chagall or from Shalom Aleichem, from Fiddler on the Roof, even if you only know it from the movie and not from actually reading Shalom Aleichem. In Shalom Aleichem, it's not Anatevka. It's Kasrilevka. But it's a terrible mistake. First of all, it's a terrible mistake because Agnon lived in Galicia, which was, when he lived there, up until World War I, controlled by the Austro-Hungarian Empire. So it was a completely different environment than the Pale of Jewish settlement in Russia. It wasn't a shtetl. Agnon didn't live in a shtetl. He lived in a town. It had 10, 12,000 people, 60% of whom were Jewish. It was a proper town. It was bigger than Efrat. Right? It wasn't Tevye. People worked in trade, in industry, in a whole variety of things. Not, they weren't milkmen. I mean, there was probably a milkman. People needed milk. But there was a takana, and in this town of Buchach, this little town of Buchach, there were some great Talmidei Chachamim. Meshulam Igra was the Rav there. The Taz at some point passed through. There were all types of... And one of the takanot that they made, because the Rav of the town also had responsibility for the surrounding villages. What does that remind you of? Does that remind you of a 20th century example? That the Rav of the town was also had responsibility for the surrounding villages.
You like the Rav of Gush Etzion.
You have circuit rabbis.
To, yeah.
Like the Rav Kook and the
Moshe. Ah, Bidiuk. Rav Kook was the chief rabbi of Yafo. And the Moshavot. And the surrounding agricultural settlements. Right? So at one point, one of the rabbanim of Buchach made a takana that all of the outlying villages that he was responsible for, those people had to come to town for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Because it wasn't possible to celebrate Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur out in the village. There was nobody to blow shofar. There was nobody to read Kriyas HaTorah. There was, you know, there was nobody to daven. Maybe on a regular Shabbos, they could probably pull it off. Sometimes it wasn't even a minion. So one of these takanos was this idea that all the villages, and this is, I'm talking, in the 1700s, 1800s, not just in the times of the Mishnah. So on the 14th, but Chazal could have said, Beseder, Purim is when Purim is. You want to do the mitzvah, you got to come. On Rosh Hashanah, that's what we do. We don't tell people, you can't make it for Rosh Hashanah, we'll blow shofar for you the day before, 2 days before, 3 days before. So why on Purim do we do this?
Because it's Rabbanim.
Number one, it's the Rabbanim.
Basis. Chazal, they were talking, the whole basis for the Chiyuv is from Chazal.
Right. So it's the Rabbanim. So first of all, you have some flexibility.
And it's already on a weekday. Which gives you a little more...
And it's already on a weekday. Although, not necessarily. In theory, it could be on a Shabbat. In our calendar, it can't be. The Mishnah is aware of the idea that it could be on a Shabbat.
But even on Shabbat, you don't read the Megillah on Shabbat?
We'll see. But what might the Havamina be when Chazal made the Takana? Besides the fact that naturally when they're making a Takana, you can be more flexible.
The fact that it's already on 2 days.
Yafeh. Built into the system is the idea that this is a movable feast. It's not a set specific moment in time. And in that way, it's unique in the Jewish calendar. Because in the Megillah itself, it said some people celebrate on the 14th, some people celebrate on the 15th.
It depends when, which city you live in. But on that right. particular city, it's fixed.
Right, but that idea that it's not only one specific day. Pesach, it's inconceivable to think that Pesach would be for some on the 14th, for some on the 15th. Even though in Chutz Lars you have 2 days, but not because that's because we're not sure we're not sure which day is the 14th or which day is the 15th really, right? We don't know if today is the 15th or tomorrow is the 15th, so we'll do it twice to cover our bases, right?
What can you say? It goes on the place that you live in that day.
But that's only the case. That's only the case of Shushan, because anywhere else it didn't really happen on that day.
I look at it the other way. Shushan. Chazal wanted to find the leniencies. They had a place.
Right. So they had built into the system this idea that this holiday is already a little loosey-goosey with it, as opposed to every other holiday in Judaism. Right? This holiday is already a little loosey-goosey.
How can you say the Hadras Melech?
But that's
basically, on a Monday and Thursday, a lot of people would assemble.
Yeah.
That's why Chazal made it. In their village is a small place, so the fact that they're there on Monday and Thursday, never that Hadras.
But it's not the Hadras Melech. Because when the villagers come to town on the 11th for their Purim,
it's only the villagers.
It's only them that are laning. The people who live in Yerushalayim are going about their business that day. They're not.
It's all the surrounding villages.
Okay.
It's not just each kvar.
Okay. Yecholia. That happens to be that the Gemara does not suggest that. And if that was the case, so why only the 11th, 12th, and 13th? Why not the 10th? Why not the 17th?
Well, you don't really pass the day.
Okay, so why not the 10th?
Because there's no reason to go to that. Because if you tell me anyways, every 3 days they're getting together, they're gathering anyways, either because it's Shabbat or because it's Monday or because it's Thursday, then you don't need to go any mathematically. You shouldn't really need to go any further earlier. Because you're going to
Go correct,
Monday
correct.
Or Thursday or a Shabbat. Correct. What's the point?
So Chaliot Yudalid B'sheni Kfarim Vayirot Gdolot Korim Bo B'yom. So if it comes out on Monday anyway, line A, the 14th is a Monday. So anyway, everybody, they'll come to Yerushalayim that day, and everybody will lay on that day, the Yerushalmim and the villagers. Umikofot choma lemachar. I'm sorry. You're right. The people from Elazar would come to Efrat. Don't tell that to them. Right?
They might also.
And they would come, because they were a village, and they would go, what are these places down there? Pnei Kedem. They would come to Efrat, which is like the regional center, and we would lane for them because it's our day and it's their day. And Yerushalayim in walled cities the next day, meaning on Shushan Purim.
That's a slightly different model. The first model, if I understand correctly, was where people, you know, from little tiny towns, 200 people, or a farmer here, whatever, they're going to the larger town. In the larger town, they're going to read on the 14th. These people are coming on the 11th, because it's Thursday. They're reading on Thursday.
Oh, so listen to the examples. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.5 examples in the Mishnah, and they are charted for you on this calendar that I wrote out.
So you gave a second example now.
I gave you one example. The first example on line A, the 14th comes out on a Monday. The villagers come to town. Everybody lanes, because it's Purim for the villagers and it's Purim for everybody else. And the people in the walled cities lane on the next day on Shushan Purim. The ladies? Why can't the ladies come also? Women, Nashim, are also chayav in Kriyat HaMegillah.
Usually, the men would come with their wares.
And the women would come in their bonnet. Or, right? And by the way, women also came. Women were a very important part of this economy. Adirab, sometimes the women were the only ones that came. The men were working on the farms, and the women would come to sell the wares. You ever been to Russia? I was in Russia in the early 90s. So in the shuk, you know, it was all these old. It was the same thing. They would come and they would set up in this square. In town, they would set up this shuk. Everybody had like these little bastot, these duchanim, right? The women would come with their tichlach, and it was like central casting. It was like you call down like an old Russian balabusta with they come with like a basket of eggs, like 150 eggs, brown speckled eggs that they carried in a basket, and somehow they didn't break.
In Kiryat Malachi, in the summer, it was like that. Okay. The
Main Square of Kiryat Malachi from the Moshavim, the wives, they're selling. If Purim, the 14th, comes out on Tuesday, this is line B.
B1.
Oh, Birivi'i, that's B2. If the 14th comes out on Tuesday or Wednesday, Kfarin makdimin leyom haknisa. That is Monday, either the 13th or the 12th. Vayirot gedolot korin bo bayom. But the people who live in the big city, they still lay on the 14th. Umukofin chama lamachar. And in Yerushalayim, they lean on Shushan Purim the next day. Chaliot Bechamishi, if the 14th comes out on a Thursday, this is line C. Kvarin Vayerot Gdolot Korin Bo Beyom Mukafin Chom Alamachar, which is identical conceptually to line A. Because if it comes out on a Monday or a Thursday, then the villagers, the visiting villagers, and the local townsmen are going to lay in on the same day. It's going to coincide. And the walled city people always the next day on Shushan Purim. Chaliot Erev Shabbat, line D. Kfarin Maktimin Liyom Haknisa, that's Thursday. Vayerot Gdolot Umukafin Choma Korin Bo Bayom on Friday. So what's the chiddush here? That in Yerushalayim, they lay on Friday. It's the only exception to the rule. In all of the cases, the Mukafin Choma always lay on Shushan Purim, unless Shushan Purim comes out on Shabbat, in which case they move it back a day early. Why?
So as not to read on Shabbat
because of all these takanot about lulav and shofar and megillah that do not take precedence over Shabbat.
I imagine we'll get to it, maybe not, but you mentioned at the very beginning how we learn all these halachot from Sefer Torah from Megillah. We don't have the really chashash with Sefer Torah.
And why, and it's altogether this takana, this is something we've talked about in the past, lulav and shofar and megillah. Right. Well, there are all types of things that you're required to, that you carry on a Shabbat that we're not worried about. Right? We're not worried that we b'chlal live in an eruv, and our kids. I've said this many times. My children, from my 5-year-old to my 19-year-old, have literally never spent a Shabbat outside of the eruv, outside of an eruv. They are unaware of this thing, and if you try to
until the army,
that's not necessarily a good thing.
It's amazing the number of people that have no idea.
Yes.
I've been in Chutz L'Aretz with right. Israelis, adults. Right. I'm not talking about kids.
Yeah. There are all types of stories. There are all types of stories of the old Bobby who went from Warsaw to New York in the days when there was no Erev, right? And she can this woman who was pious and said Tillim all day and would never put anything in her mouth without a bracha. She's mechallel Shabbos every week because she didn't know about an Eruv, right? You tried saying you're not allowed to carry your keys on Shabbat. She would say, my father and my grandfather and my great-grandfather, they're all Rabbonim, they carried their keys, right? So go try explaining to this old Bubba. Now, it doesn't matter whether this story is true or not. It's a good story.
Like in Alexandria, the previous rabbi made it a point that there were two Shabbases a year.
Yeah.
There was no Erev.
Zecher,
there were only
Elizabeth
the shortest Shabbases of the year, right, with the most snow, so no one kept the show anyways, but there was no Erev. Right.
Look, it does happen from time. Last year, the year before? When did we have the last big snow? Not this.
It was 2013.
2013. Oh, the snow apocalypse. What was it called?
Apocalypse.
What did he call it? He made those t-shirts.
Yeah, apocalypse.
Right? So the Erev, thanks to Bob, the Erev was up, but it was just mamash at the last second they got it up. It could happen. The Erev goes down. In the old days of Efrat,
I have to look up a very interesting halacha, which I already have to deal with. How do you clean up after your dog when there's no Erev? Do you need to clean up after your dog?
What's the answer? Chaliot b'Shabbat. So if the 14th comes out on Shabbat, so line D, that's what we call Purim Mishulash. And according to our calendar, this still happens. It happens rarely, but it happens. It's the same. Whenever you have a Purim Mishulash, it's the years that Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, right? So Purim Mishulash, which only affects people in Yerushalayim, so they split up. It's called Mishulash because Purim is divided into
Friday,
Shabbos, and Sunday. You do on Friday, you lane. On Shabbos, you say Al Anisim, and on Sunday you do Mishloach Manot and Matan Levyanim and Sudas Purim. Even though some people I think are makpid to also give Mishloach Manot on Shabbat itself, Mashu Kazeh, I don't remember it. I was only ever once did Purim Mishulash and Kinnir. I'm never going to do it again unless we move back to Yerushalayim.
They don't say Al Anisim on Sunday?
No, you say it on Bo Bayom.
On Shabbat.
on Shabbat.
That's why the Israelis Siddurim.
That's why in the Koran, in the Koran, in other words, in the in an American Siddur, they only have Alanis on Shabbos davening. They only have Alanisim for Hanukkah because it can you can never be in New York and have to say Alanisim for Purim on Shabbat. But in the Koran Siddur, they have it. Which it's a paragraph you only have to use like three times in 19 years or something like that. So Chaliot b'Shabbat Kfarim v'Ayirot Gdolot Makdimin v'Korin. This is line E. If the 14th comes out on Shabbat, which according to our calendar can't happen, but if it comes out on Shabbat, Kfarim v'Ayirot Gdolot Makdimin v'Korin l'Yom HaKnisa on Thursday, u'Mukafot Chama l'Machar on Sunday. So there, what's the chiddush?
Why not on Friday?
Well, you're already having people. You're already not doing it on.
So once you're not doing it all together, once you're not doing it on the right day anyway, and if you do makdim, so makdim to Friday, and maybe here we'll get to it in the Gemara. But I'm sorry, what's your name? What was that again?
Lighter.
Rovam.
So maybe there's a Rovam element here that people should. Once when you're doing it on the right day, it's better to do it all together.
15th is the day you can leave. 15th is Sunday. You leave on Sunday.
That's only for the Shushanites. But for a non-Shushanite, you never. It's always Makdimin v'lo Machrin. Chaliot Echad b'Shabbat, line F. If it comes out on Sunday, which does happen all the time. This, I think, is the most frequent way the calendar falls out. You can look at the Torah tidbits for the exact statistics. The most frequent occurrence of Purim, I do believe, is on Motzei Shabbat. And this year, it's again on Motzei Shabbat. Chaliot Achar Shabbat, Kfarin Maktimin Leyom HaKnisa, the previous Thursday, the 11th, that's the longest distance between their reading and the actual thing. So therefore you see all the permutations, how Taka could fall out either on the 11th, the 12th, or the 13th, in addition to the 14th and 15th.
You guys go back to the previous Yom HaKnisa, not to the closest Yom HaKnisa.
No, because to go to the next Yom HaKnisa, you would be delaying instead of
Makdimin.
Yeah, so
but there are people elsewhere reading on that same day also.
That's true, but in other words, since you don't have a chiyuv, since you're not a walled city person, so in other words, as soon as possible, but you do have this idea of makdimin velo ma'achrin, right? The only time you're ma'acher something, making something, pushing something off is, what? Is fast days, right? Fast days, Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbat, Shivosu B'Tamuz comes out on Shabbat, so, you know what, I would say cancel the thing. But say we don't cancel it. But you don't make it. Why not make it earlier? Because you don't want to be makdim puranut. You don't want to bad things. Because why? What'll happen? We'll fast on Friday.
And then
Mashiach. Or Mashiach came in, we would have fasted. And no Jew wants to fast in a waste. So for puranut, you push it off. But for a mitzvot, you're makdim. Reason makdim in the mitzvot. So that's the Mishnah. Let me ask you a couple questions. Why Hamagila Nikrit?
We discussed it.
We discussed what?
I mean, why it's Nikrit? I mean, you hinted to it with the issue of the who it's at. It has to be listened to. That has to be read by you. So when the guy was Yotze, it doesn't.
But what could it have said?
Korin
at the Megillah. Right? So I think David's right that probably this is what the Ritva says. The Megillah Nikrit telegraphs this idea that the Chiyuv is to hear the Megillah. To hear the Megillah. Even though, what's the bracha in the Megillah?
Al
Mikra Megillah. Instead of?
Lishmoa.
Oh, Lishmoa Megillah. That's the chakira we have about Tkiyat Shofar, the bracha of Tkiyat Shofar. But Al Mikra Megillah, instead of Likro, Asher Kajam is known as Likro, the Megillah. This is a different chakira about like which brachot are in the infinitive and which are in the, help me, Al, what form of speech is it? The descriptive, the, So, but it's a telegraphist idea that the din is you're not chayav to read the Megillah. You're chayav to have the Megillah read and to hear it. So that's an interesting thing. Probably because there's something essential about the word mikra, kra. In other words, there's a special verb. This always bugs me. I mean, I imagine it bug you more. But, on the weeks in the summer when you go to the early minyan and they make the announcement that you have to say Kriyat Shema again, so some gaboyim who are not precise in their diktuk will say chayavim lomar Kriyat Shema. Ein omrim Kriyat Shema. Korim Kriyat Shema. In other words, there's a special... Korim Shema. Right? In other words, there's a special verb, just like in Hebrew. In Hebrew, you don't lovesh kova, you chovesh kova. In English, you can wear a hat and you can wear a shirt. But in Hebrew, there's two different verbs for these different things.
Because the hat's used to be wrapped around the head.
Because the hat, for whatever reason, the language developed that a hat has a special verb, and you don't lovesh na'alayim, you're no'el na'alayim. So the language is such that it has a different verb that attaches to each piece of clothing. So for reading of biblical texts, it's always mikra, right? For the reading of non-biblical texts, it's
Kriya?
No.
Magot? No.
Well, some permutation of Haggadah. Right? What is the Haggadah? Right? V'higadata bayom hahu.
Or reading out loud, you mean?
For reading out loud?
Or reading to yourself, would that be like
Magot? It's a distinction between Torah Shabbat, Bichtav, and Torah Shabbat.
Maybe. But the verb for... So maybe it's because of that, because the distinctive nature of reading a biblical text out loud, ritually, is Kriya, so maybe that's why, instead of the Shema. Let's also look at the difference between... This is a chakira about mitzvah bo be'avera, which we've talked about many times over the years, about shofar and what's the essence of the mitzvah of the shofar. The essence of the mitzvah of the shofar is not the shofar. It's the kol which is produced by the shofar. Right? In order to produce the kol through which it can be yotzei, you need a shofar. But the shofar itself is not even, dare I say, essential to the mitzvah. It's just a necessary prerequisite.
Why not essential?
In other words, because
the shofar is apostle and you still hear the same kol. It's not
Gezer. No, because what you heard was not the kol of a shofar. What you heard was the kol of a apostle shofar. Right? What you heard was the kol of a kazoo. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because definitionally, for the kol, the mitzvah object really is the kol. Which kind of kol? A kol produced by a kosher shofar. That's why the Rambam says, and the Gemara says, that the idea of mitzvah habo bi'avera, that if you try to do a mitzvah with a stolen object, like lulav, if you steal a lulav, you can't be yotze, because of mitzvah habo bi'avera, you're not allowed to do a mitzvah through an avera. So if you steal a shofar and you blow it, you're not a good guy. We wouldn't want you to marry your daughter.
Still heard the sound of the shofar.
But you're yotze, because even though the shofar is stolen, you can't steal a coal. Right? And the coal was it produced from a kosher shofar? Yeah. A stolen kosher shofar. So that's what the Ramban says. We only have a few minutes. The Ramban says this whole idea of Yemei Purim, that the festival itself is on two different days, depending upon where you live, as opposed to all other holidays. And then Chazal, in addition, or perhaps simultaneously, interestingly, though it's not mentioned in the Megillah itself, but the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, when they made the whole holiday, they did 14th and 15th, right? You know, they announced the Oscars today. So there's the best actor and there's the supporting actor. So best actor is the 14th and the 15th, and supporting actor is also the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. Right? So this idea of the Yemei Purim, so why is it? So the idea that what makes a holiday? Like, why should that day be celebrated? Why should the day that they rest be celebrated?
And not the day of the victory.
Say to me, that's what we're asking. Why did the Chachamim choose? This is what Gemara learning is, my friend. We're trying to figure out what Mordechai was thinking. That here we are, thousands of years later.
It comes the day after the war, we say, okay, right. They're dead, I'm alive, let's eat.
No, the victory was only the first year they could do that, but in subsequent years you can celebrate the day of the victory. You're not fighting it.
No, because the victory comes when the sun comes up and you're still alive. You're grateful for still being alive. That's the victory.
When is Independence Day in America?
You're talking about the Declaration of Independence assignments.
The first Monday after the second.
No. Independence Day in America is always celebrated on July 4th. Why July 4th?
7 years, 6 years, 5 years. Okay. They signed the Declaration. They signed the Declaration on July 4th.
The Declaration of Independence was ratified in the Continental Congress. But when was the vote to declare independence taken?
July 2nd.
Adams and Jefferson always celebrated on the 2nd. In their letters to each other, they would write, from Monticello to Quincy, July 2nd. My friend... My friend... Right. Today I recall the event of 10 or 20 or 30 or however many years ago, until, of course, at a certain point, Hitgabesh, that July 4th, the anniversary of the ratification of the Declaration of Independence, became set as the date in memory. But the people that were there thought that the real celebration, the real date, the significant thing, was on July 2nd when they took the vote that, yes, we are going to declare our independence. And of course, the footnote to this, as David mentioned, is that on the 50th Yom Ha'atzmaut, on July 4th, 1826, both Adams and Jefferson died on that day, on the 50th anniversary.
Bo Bayom.
But it became de facto that people celebrated on July 4th. That's when Macy's had the white sale and they had fireworks and whatever. So the Ramban says something very similar, unbeknownst to him, about John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. The Lamaisa, Pok Chazivanira, the first year after Purim, they looked around and they saw that in Shushan everybody was having their barbecue, their whatever it was, on the 15th. And they looked around and they saw every place else they're having on the 14th. So that Chazal were mataken it according to the de facto actions of the Jewish people. It wasn't so much that Chazal created the idea of Purim and Shushan Purim, but the people did. Now this raises questions, of course, about how we celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut, when we celebrate Yom Yerushalayim, right? Why should we celebrate Yom Yerushalayim on that? I mean, because that's the day Yerushalayim was liberated. But, you know, in Gush Etzion it was... No, on Yom Ha'atzmaut it was... No, I'm confused. So these questions, you know, it's Chazal ratify the actions of the people that really decide. So we did not get as much done as I thought we would, but we'll continue here next week. The new folks, welcome. Baruch Habo. Give David your phone, or give Ben your phone number, because we have a WhatsApp group, because in case the show gets canceled or anything else like that, we let you know. And if you don't have WhatsApp, Ben will email you. Hold on to these pages, or you can give them back to me.
I'll hold it, because I have to pick up my phone.